Thank you, Dan. I tried to get him to preach, but he said, no, I'll do meditation if you want me to. And I said, okay, that's fine. I'm going to talk about the name of Jesus. I preached part of this sermon here about 3 years ago, I guess it is now, and had a number of people respond to it in a very positive way. And so I wanted to run this by you once again. We can never get tired of hearing about Jesus, I don't think, as Christians, do we? Say, no, Shan, no, Shan, we never do. Hope so. We spend a lot of time choosing names when a baby is on the way. We go back and forth. I mentioned the name of someone, I thought was a real good name. Karen said, no, I was in school with a kid, had that name, and he was kind of a creepy kid, so, you know, couldn't go that direction, and you know how that goes. And there's some unusual names in the world. I mentioned this before, but Scott Pitts is one of the ministers at Greenwood Christian. He has a dad named Harry. Harry Pitts. True story. How would you like to go through life? Harry, he was a wonderful, wonderful man. His last ministry was up at Lebanon Christian Church. When I was in school at Ozark, we had a professor that came just to fill in for one semester for one of our regulars who'd had a heart attack, and his name was Buford Oder, and I thought Buford, you know, reminded me of a some kind of a valet or a rich man's helper, and say, peel me a grape, Buford, you know, or something like that, Buford. But he had a brother named Ivan. You can't make that up. Ivan Oder and Harry Pitts. I'll tell you, you think your name's bad. It's nothing compared to Ivan Oder and Harry Pitts. Let me just talk about the name of Jesus. You know, everyone has a name. We challenge ourselves in coming up with names. But let's talk about the name Jesus. The name of Jesus, first of all, has simplicity. It's simple. It's easy to say. Even in Spanish, it's Jesus. I roomed one semester with a kid from Mexico in college. His name was Jesus Field. And when you look at it, it looks like it's Jesus Field. My brother Dean, who was always giving me a bad time, said, Shan, you think you're so special because you roomed with Jesus. And I said, well, Jesus probably wouldn't room with you. you know, a little sibling rivalry there. But, you know, a lot of names in the Bible are not simple. How about Melchizedek or Mephibosheth or Habakkuk or Jehoshaphat or Jehoshachin? Or, you know, there's a lot of names in the Bible that are not simple, not easy. But the name of Jesus is simple. It's easy. We can all say it. So the name of Jesus, first of all, it has simplicity. Second of all, it has unmatched beauty, unmatched beauty. There are a lot of beautiful names. I've always thought the name Mary was the most beautiful name of all of women's names. I think Karen is a pretty name. A lot of you have pretty names. I did a funeral a week ago Saturday for a lady who lived in Whiteland, and I've known her son for many, many years. Her name was Violet Dawn Money. I like all three of those names, especially the last one. Violet Dawn Money. Oh, what a pretty name, Violet Dawn. I have a niece, my brother Dean's firstborn. She's in her mid-60s, I suppose, now. Her name is Dreama, D-R-E-A-M-A, Dreama, and she fits it. You know, she could have been kind of a ugly person or ornery or, you know, ugly, whatever. She's a lovely lady and wonderful Christian talent. She's a pastor's wife down in Naples, Florida. And she's just the sweetest person. I thought, boy, it's lucky he came out with that name. It's such a pretty name, such a beautiful name. There are many beautiful names in this world. Now, there's some names that are not beautiful. You know, we wouldn't want to name one of our kids Judas. or Jezebel, would we? We wouldn't want to name somebody from history like Manson or Hitler or Satan or Bill Belichick or, you know, something bad like that. So we avoid names like that, don't we? We avoid names that have no beauty, that have a bad connotation with them. But the name of Jesus, it has unmatched beauty, unmatched beauty. And then in the third place, the name Jesus has no equal. It has absolutely no equal. There are lots of people who have names that are equal. There is, George Washington had Abraham Lincoln. Dwight L. Moody, a great evangelist, had somebody like Billy Graham. Mozart had Beethoven. Michelangelo had Da Vinci. George Clooney had Brad Pitt. Methuselah had Dick Dietrich. Boy, I worked hard on that one. I've always teased Dick about his age. Michael Jordan had Kobe and Shaq and Larry Bird and many others. I mean, there are people that have some equals in this world. Mickey Mantle had Babe Ruth or Hank Aaron or many other great baseball players. Peyton Manning had Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers and many other great quarterbacks. But Jesus has no equal. Amen? Amen. Number four, the name Jesus is indescribable. It's indescribable. You know, even the Holy Spirit-inspired writers of Scripture struggle to fully and adequately describe Jesus. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the bright and morning star. He's the cornerstone. He's the branch of David. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He's the wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He's the Good Shepherd. He is the True Vine. He is the Righteous King. He is Emmanuel. He's the Way. He's the Truth. He's the Life. There are many attempts, and that's just scratching the surface. There are many, many attempts to describe Jesus, but Jesus is indescribable. And then Jesus is the name that is above all names. He's the one who's above all other names. There are many great names. I like a lot of the names that are pretty simple, pretty common. I like the name Richard. I like the name John, James, Mark. A lot of great names. Some of them are Bible names. Some of them are not. But they're great names from the Old Testament, like David. There, of course, is Paul and the others in the New Testament. There's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Daniel. Many, many great names that we get from Scripture. We think of names from history like Napoleon or Washington or Lincoln. We don't even have to say their first name. All we have to do is say that name. There are many great names from industry like Carnegie and Rockefeller and Biltmore. Ford, Hershey, many, many great names. There's some names today that are certainly making history, like Musk and Warren Buffett and others that have achieved great wealth, great fame, done some great things. But no name is above the name of Jesus. Philippians 2 says it best. He was exalted to the highest place and given the name that is what? Above all other names. There's no name that's above the name of Jesus. His name is above all other names. No pope, no president, no king, no musician, no sculptor, no athlete, no politician, no preacher, no movie star, no physician, no actor has any name that is above the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. All right. And then Jesus, now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here, Jesus is the name of salvation, the name of salvation. Yeshua, or Joshua, from the Old Testament. It means the Lord is salvation. The Lord is salvation. The English word, Jesus, comes from the Greek word, doesn't actually start with a J, and it doesn't actually end with an S. If you were to spell it out in English, it's kind of a derivative of what it originally meant. It would be I-E-S-U, Isu, Isu. That kind of sounds like Jesus a little bit, but that's where that name comes from. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men, to mankind, by which we must be saved. No other name, no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. How about Matthew 1:21? There's an angel of the Lord, and he appears to Mary, and he says, you are to give him the name Jesus, the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. It's the name of salvation. He will save the people from their sins. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's the name Jesus. Jesus is Lord. If you believe in your heart that God raised who? Jesus' name.
From the dead.
Jesus. All right. Just want to know if you were awake. If you want to be saved, you will confess his name, the name of Jesus. You will be baptized into what? The name of Jesus. Peter said it as plain as he could say it. The very first day, the birthday of the church, the founding of the church on the day of Pentecost in approximately AD 33. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, so that your sins may be forgiven. Why do we need to be saved? Well, we need to be saved for the forgiveness of our sins. Sin's our biggest problem. Our biggest problem isn't the political climate, but may contribute to it. Somebody said politics is two words. Poly means many, and tics is a blood-sucking parasite. So that's kind of accurate, but sin is wrecking our country. Sin is wrecking our homes. It's wrecking our marriages. It's wrecking businesses. Sin kills peace of mind. Sin separates us from a holy God. Have you sinned? Everybody shake your head. Yes, Shan. Yeah, Scriptures say, Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one perfect person.
We've all
shake
sinned.
Your head. Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry, I've lied. Have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you? You have to answer that. The biggest liar is the one who says he hasn't lied. I heard a story about preachers walking down the street and he saw some boys, four or five boys, and they had a little dog, and he said, what are you boys doing? He said, well, we're having a contest. The one who tells the biggest lie gets the dog. And he said, boys, you shouldn't be doing that. He said, when I was your age, I never told a lie. They said, here, preacher, you win. You get the dog. We've all lied. We've all come short of the kingdom of God. If you've ever lusted after another person, if you have ever gossiped, if you were ever jealous, we've all sinned, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Acts 10:43 says, all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins through his name. What's his name? Jesus. All right. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, who died for us? Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. First John said, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. On account of his name. And then finally, you will confess his name. You will confess his name. Philippians chapter 2. verses 5 through 11. This is one of my very, very favorite passages. It says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. He made himself nothing. He took on the form of a servant. He was made in the appearance of man. He was found in human likeness. And he went to the cross. He went to the cross for us. He was willing to suffer and die for us, even death on a cross. Therefore, it says, God exalted him to the highest place and did what? Gave him a name that's above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and in earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is the Christ, to the glory of God the Father. Someday, every knee will bow before Jesus. Someday, every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. Someday, Adolf Hitler, someday, Osama bin Laden will bow the knee before Jesus. Someday, Muhammad and Mary Baker Eddy and the followers of Buddha and Hare Krishna and Joseph Smith and the Jehovah's Witnesses, they will all bow their knee and say, Jesus is Lord. They will all say that. Someday, every president, every king, every dictator, every world leader will say out loud, Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Someday you and I will bow before the great white throne of heaven and declare with our voice, Jesus is Lord. I've had the privilege on several occasions to go into prisons and speak. There was the old women's prison in downtown Indianapolis. It's no longer there, but I've been to the new one out on the west side. And I've been up to Pendleton several times. A group of us used to go up on Saturday evenings, and I went on, I think, three or four different times and spoke. And it's an interesting experience to go into a prison and preach. First time or two, I was kind of nervous about it. Didn't really know what to expect. When you go in, you have to put your keys and your pen and your belt and whatever else the guard tells you to put in a locker. And you can't take any weapons or anything like that, and you just do what they tell you. And then when they take you through these gates, they open the gate and they go through fast, and they shut the gate right behind you. And they're real serious about this. And so you go through about three of these gates, you think, man, am I ever going to get out of here or not? It's foreboding. Inside the room where they have the services, though, the inmates are very welcoming. That's been my experience. They pay close attention. They listen to every word. They have their Bibles. They have their sermon outlines. Some of them are even given little felt-tip ballpoint pens, whether or not ballpoint, but little felt-tip pens to take notes with. They know, perhaps a little bit too late, that they need to make a change in their lives. They are incarcerated because they have violated the laws of man and God. Many I've talked to have finally realized that being a follower of Jesus Christ is what they need more than anything else in their life and in this world. More than money, more than a job, more than good health, more even than freedom. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. I don't know how many times I've spoken the name of Jesus. I have no clue. Larry, you couldn't add up how many times you said the name of Jesus in prayers, in sermons, lessons, and sharing your faith with other people. We've said the name Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It is the sweetest name we know. But every knee will bow at some point before Jesus. One of the old great hymns says, at the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings in heaven will crown him when our journey is complete. Jesus left heaven. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised the widow's son. He raised the daughter of Jairus. Finally, he went to the cross and poured out his life's blood. He conquered death and the grave. Have you confessed his name? You will. Someday you will confess his name. I hope that you do it now. I hope that you do it before you are compelled to do it, ultimately, in his presence. Someone put a poem on my desk. I don't know where it came from, but whoever did it, thank you. And I've tried to learn this poem this week. It says, I've tried in vain 1,000 ways my fears to quell, my hopes to raise. But what I need, the Bible says, is ever only Jesus. My heart is cold. My head is steel. I cannot hear. I cannot feel. For life, for light, I must appeal in simple faith to Jesus. He died. He lives. He reigns. He pleads. His words are filled with love and deeds. He's all that this world really needs forevermore in Jesus. Though some may sneer and some may blame, I'll go to him with all my shame. I'll go to him because his name, above all names, is Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Help us, Father, to not take lightly and certainly not in vain the name of Jesus. I pray if there's anybody here today who's not confessed the name of Jesus before others, that they would come, maybe right down this aisle, and say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I pray if there are those here who need to make an initial step of faith, inviting you, Father, into their hearts and lives and minds, that this would be a day of decision. We thank you for Jesus, for what he did for us. We know who he is. He is your Son. He is our Savior. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And when he comes back, Lord, we know it won't be as a baby in a manger. It will be as a conquering hero to defeat Satan once for all and rule throughout all eternity. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Would you stand and sing this hymn of invitation and decision?
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home,
come home,
come home,
come home,
ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home.
Well, Well, thank you all for being here. And do remember to sign up for the meal if you're planning to come. We hope you do. We always have plenty of great food, fried chicken, meatloaf. Makes me just want to slap my grandma. It's so good. And that's an old Southern Oklahoma saying. Somebody said, man, that's so good. Made me want to slap my grandma. And I'd have got slapped back, I could tell you. My grandma was tough. But, well, we are glad to have our kids here, and we're just blessed. Got some great grandkids, two great grandkids here today, and our grandson. We are blessed. I think that's all we need to do here. Brother Larry, would you pronounce a benediction for us?
Father God in heaven, we thank you for the beautiful name, the wonderful name, the marvelous name, the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus. Father, we look forward to that time when all of mankind will bow the knee and confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, we pray that that might come quickly.
Amen.
Father, the world's in a mess. We're in a mess. We need you. We need you to allow Jesus to come. But while we're waiting, Father, may we be faithful enough to share that name of Jesus with those who do not know it. Thank you, Father, for your love, for your grace, for your mercy, for the congregation here, and those who need it. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
When all my labors and trials are o'er,
when all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by His grace I shall look on His face. That will be glory for me.